Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this conference call. This is Christian Teig speaking from Koblenz, Germany, and we are going to talk us through the preliminary and unaudited fourth quarter 2014 results in CompuGroup. There is a presentation which you can download if you haven't done it already from our website. There is also a link to an online tool which will show the presentation there. And I will try, for those of you who do not watch it on this online tool, to make sure that I reference the slide number that we are on so that you can track it in any case. The presentation basically has some sections. One is a quick review of the results that were presented. Then obviously there is some emphasis on the guidance for 2015. And there's also a section towards the end which goes on special opportunities beyond 2015. So with that introduction, we will start into the pack. First, you can turn to slide number 2. This is just to remind everyone that we are still at the preliminary and unaudited stage. Having said that, from the past, we usually see smaller, if any, material fluctuations, and we believe that these are also very close to the final numbers. Moving then to slide number 3, here are the key figures in the fourth quarter. Overall, it's not a bad quarter. It wasn't all the way up to where we had planned it and hoped it to be. That's clear. There is a few million missing, both on revenue and EBITDA. But again, as an isolated quarter, at least to my memory, it's probably the best one we have had, actually, in company history. So all in all, at least landing somehow with our feet down. We can then turn to slide number 4 to recite some of the main events. Certainly, it was a good quarter in the AIS business. Altogether 9% organic growth, and considering that there was only a minor contribution from the Gematik project in Germany, actually in Europe it was 9% organic growth without this. That's about as strong as it can get. Obviously it wasn't super strong in Q3, but second half altogether shows that there is a strong underlying organic growth trend in the AIS business. Pharmacy software has been a lot up and down this year in terms of year-on-year growth rates, massively up Q3, somewhat down again in Q4. Maybe a little bit of a technical explanation on these fluctuations. I mean, the pharmacy software business has a very stable nature. It's mostly based on rental contracts. Having said that, in its translation into IFRS reporting, elements of these rental contracts get translated into financial leasing, which means that the recurring revenue streams get booked out and get substituted by, say, the renewal and new contracts sold in the period. And that just makes fluctuations quarter by quarter higher than, say, the underlying business really is. Anyway, probably the best way to look at this in 2014 is for the full year, and basically, 3% organic growth is a decent, fair representation of where this business is today. HCS, 5% organic growth, not much of a surprise. Some contracts in workflow and decision support shifted into 2015. In terms of volume, that's about 500,000. Otherwise, no special developments. So I guess those were the main revenue parts. Again, to explain where we missed on the target we had set on the quarter, it's basically less revenue realized on the Gematik project. That has to do with the POC method and how that's being done, and then a little bit on the workflow and decision support. On the cost side, many moving parts, which I've discussed with many of you in the hours preceding this call. All in all, they net out to approximately zero, and we believe it's a pretty fair picture of the underlying business, what has been reported. And part of that is that we have gone through and expensed a lot of integration and restructuring costs into the P&L, basically to be better prepared and with a more efficient setup for the new year 2015. And importantly, worthy of a separate point, our strategic project with the Gematik, the telematic infrastructure project, is on track. So those were the highlights, say, and operating parts of the fourth quarter. We can then turn to page slide number 5. Here is the summary of where we are in the TI project. Basically, we are exactly where we should be. All components have been developed to the point where they can be tested in a full value chain from a physician's office all the way into an insurance company and back. And this preliminary test has shown that all components and services fit perfectly together. That's one important part. Another important part is that we have been able to contract the full number of 500 required care providers. From the history of the project, that's always been considered a bit of a risk factor. That's now mitigated, and again, we have every single one that we need for the pilot contracted. So basically, we have the hardware, the software, and the providers to test it already for what lies ahead of us in 2015, which is to do the final tests and scale verification of this telematic infrastructure, say, as the second phase of the pilot project. But all in all, we are happy with where we are and proud that we have achieved the important milestones in the project. Other things in the quarter, we turn then to slide number 6. This was actually also part of the deck in the third quarter presentation. Acquisition of Labelsoft right at the beginning of the quarter basically is a bolt-on to extend the platform that we have in the Netherlands. Good, high-margin software business that fits nicely with what we already have there. Slide number 7, maybe for some of you more of a surprise, but for me personally, who was part of our initiative to organically set up our South African business all the way back in 2003, that's more than 10 years ago. At the time when we did that, we did it based on a Swedish developed product, which was more reflecting the complexity of Swedish healthcare, and certainly had a lot of functionality that would be considered advanced for the primary care sector in South Africa. History has proven that that's been a relatively successful venture when it comes to the specialist market, whereas from a product perspective and from the basic needs, what we have been able to offer has been too complex for the bulk of GPs, general practitioners. This part in South Africa, we are only talking about privately insured people, so it's about 20% of the population which has access to a very advanced health sector, which looks a little bit like the U.S. market. They basically still use the basic practice management and billing systems with more, say, rudimentary electronic health records on top. And here we have a brilliant company, MedEDI, whom we know since 10 years, very successful in the GP market. And I think for us to stay in the South African market, we needed something like this. It is a high margin, solid business, entirely based on recurring revenue, and with a good footprint all over South Africa. So that's exciting for us, and it really takes our South African business from more of a marginal operation to something that has some significance and that can continue to grow both within specialists and GPs. Then we can turn to slide 8, something that we haven't done much of in the past, but something that we might do a little bit more of going forward, which is also to prune away things that are not fully core. Our hospital division or hospital segment has been the cause of some concern over the last year and maybe even before that. And we are in the process of streamlining this. We have taken out costs in this area. That's important. We've also now sold this asset. This was basically something that came in with the All for One acquisition in 2008. It is basically financial software, which is sold as add-ons to our existing customers in social care and rehab. It has also been sold over many years through a dealer into public utilities. So it's used for electrical utilities and gas utilities in Germany. And to make a long story short, as we had no plans to go through any, say, renewal of the product portfolio there, the time was good to sell this business to our distribution partner, who also has a strong interest to maintain our legacy products for a very respectable period of time and bridge fully into a new product generation which they are developing. So we saw this as a very sensible divestiture, and say maybe if you see it as a good trade with the MedEDI business to put more emphasis on high margin recurring AIS business and get more of a streamlined focused portfolio of what we do in our HIS business. Then we can turn to slide number 9, which is just a placeholder to say that we now go into section number 2, which is the outlook. That brings us quickly then to slide number 10, which is the overview of recurring revenue. This is a slide that we repeat every end January, beginning February, when we issue our guidance. It is to show a little bit how the core of our core has developed. That means the portfolio of software maintenance and other recurring contracts. We are now 5% up year on year. And we start with 356 million euros of annual recurring revenue secured for the new year. That's based on the run rate that we have now in January, which shows us that there is a real underlying inherent growth in the size of our business. If we turn to slide 11, also important for us to emphasize that even though we are excited about opportunities like the Gematik project and the rollout of the telematic infrastructure in Germany, we will never forget the daily bread and butter of our business, which is about serving our install base of customers wider and with more services and more add-ons every year. In 2015, we have, as always, a good portfolio of existing add-ons. Here is a list on this slide. We also have a number of new, I would say especially in Germany, where it's key that when it comes to networking products, a lot of the market will be on hold until the rollout of the telematic infrastructure starts. What we have done during 2014 is to create basically facelifts and mobile extensions to our legacy applications. One example of that would be this Albis U, which is pictured here in some of the marketing material. And basically use that in the final stage of the life cycle of these products to provide more utility for our customers and to generate add-on revenue from our large install base in Germany. So altogether, we feel that the basis clearly is there in terms of products and services to add organically revenue into our install base, in particular in our AIS business segment. We then move to slide number 12. That's also another area which we feel somewhat excited about. is that for the first time in a long time, we are able to forecast a stable and even positive HCS outlook. Clearly, and we had this as a topic on our analyst conference in November. And in communication and data, we know already that we will have a better first 6 months than what we had in 2014. That's about the hard visibility that we have. But even looking into the second half and looking into some of the analytics there, we do believe that we have turned at least the negative trend for the coming year, and that we should be able to see at least something like a flat revenue development in this area. Workflow and decision support, as I mentioned when reviewing 14, some contracts were shifted from 14 to 15. Hurts in the past year, helps a little bit in the new year. We've also sold some new contracts on Card Trust, which is a good business that we've done in Germany. It's a service that probably should be seen more as a transitory revenue stream leading, and which would be substituted by different services into the telematic infrastructure. But as we are in the transitory period, certainly in 15, it should be a nice add-on business. The other bullets here are references again to what we presented on the analyst conference, and many of them are still in an embryonic phase, but we do believe that it should be able to drive some growth in 2015. On the ISP side, Germany will probably be mostly flat as it's dominated by the POC revenue related to the connector deliveries to the TI project, whereas in France, which is our second, volume ISP market, we are doing or are in the process of getting something back from initiatives we have done to add services into the network, things like remote backup, telesecretary services, and again, we believe that some growth should come out from that. So altogether, stable to positive HCS outlook. Brings us to slide 13. What's the summary? As most of the analysts have commented, no surprise, it's consensus. 3-5% organic growth in AIS, and another 13 million from the acquisitions listed here. 2-3% comparable, a notch lower in PCS, and again another 10 million from Pharma 3Tech, Mundo Pharma, and Punto Pharma. Hospital business we see flat, and then we have to strip out the 5 million roughly from the Reve DMS, which was sold. Communication and data, we see that initially flat. Some growth in workflow and decision support, and again in ISP, at least flat should be a doable exercise for 2015. Organic growth, always important. Slide 14 shows the relevant history of organic growth within the various buckets. And I guess it only shows that the guidance does not represent anything out of the past, probably with the exception of communication and data, doesn't completely change the picture on group level. But important to note that from a consistent 10% per year decline ever all the way back to 2008, we now see at least to be stable. Most important in our segments is the ambulatory information systems. Interesting to see then in 2014 there were some effects with the Gematik projects. We have also stripped out growth rates, US versus Europe. If we take Europe without Gematik and we adjust for changes in FX rates, organic growth was in Europe 4%, which is the mid-range of what we forecast. Certainly, we expect to grow now in the US, having gone through the transition of changes in business model. Right now, it looks as if we might even get some currency wind in our back. So altogether, 3-5% is a very reasonable and, neutral assumption. pharmacy software 2-4%, 3% as we did in 2014, dead in the middle, should be no surprise. So I would say this is a very neutral guidance, which is strongly anchored in how the business has performed growth-wise in the last period. Which brings us from revenue to profits. Slide 15 shows this in some historical perspective. I think many of us in management in CGM are in a sense happy to be done with 2014. When we guided this, we gave a list of things that we knew we had to go through and that we knew would cost money. We are now done with that list for all practical purposes. We do not provide any additional list, which means we are more into normal operations. Brings us back then, as we see it, to mid-range, something like 22% margin. We still have things to take care of, in particular for the Gematik project, but all in all, it should bring a solid lift into our EBITDA and a solid, at least directionally right movement also on the EBITDA margin. Which brings us then to the summary of these background factors on the guidance. That's slide 16. We expect revenue then to be in the range of 545 to 555. Simple 550 million euros mid-range. Operating income 115 to 125, mid-range 120, which again would be a sign that some of the investments and extra expenses we carried in 2014 was for a good cause, and hopefully that we are back now on a trajectory that would bring us to consistently higher margins in the years to come. So I guess that would conclude the normal part of a preliminary annual conference call. Given some recent events related to the many times now mentioned Gematik project, we have included some slides at the end, starting at slide number 17. This is the telematic infrastructure, the way we see it, the coming secure communication arena in German healthcare. Basically, we talk about round about 250,000 care providers being linked to the full population of Germany of about 80 million people using the electronic health card, the Gesundheitskarte, EGK, as the key component to access fully secure private health records and to facilitate information exchange and collaborative processes across healthcare in Germany within every law and regulation for privacy and data security in Germany. That's of course exciting, and we are very much part of it as we speak, as we are one of the two pilots testing this out. The new developments worthy of mentioning, and the really important thing is the German e-health law. This is on slide 18. And I guess this slide is a little bit of school day one-on-one of German parliamentarism. I think it's useful anyways as the mechanism to put the telematic infrastructure into play and make it happen is this law. Where are we? Well, the Minister of Health has prepared a draft bill, and this was sent out on hearing in mid-January 2015. It is a publicly available document which can be read and reviewed by anyone. Obviously, stakeholders, including industry and also CGM, have been invited to comment. That's where we are right now. After some commenting, the bill in its original form with comments will go to the government, the so-called Bundeskabinett, and we expect this to be within some weeks, sometime in March 2015. Given that the current Minister of Health comes from the government, it would be surprising if such a bill would not at least reach the Bundeskabinet. And then to get it approved, it has to go to the parliament, the Bundestag. This is a process including, say, discussions and changes in the so-called health committee that usually takes 3 to 6 months. So that would mean all of this should be completed by the end of September, certainly by the end of the year, as it is written into the draft that the law will come into effect January 1st, 2016. So it's very much constructed for something that should be approved by the parliament, by the Bundestag, by the end of the year, so it comes into play 1st of January next year. What does the law say? This is on slide 19. A simplified view on the timeline and the main components. Basically, it starts 1st of January 2016. There is a 6-month grace period to get everything in place, and everything in place means that this VSDM, which is the ability to upload, change and review the insurance data of every citizen that is within the public insurance system in Germany through the telematic infrastructure, that has to be fully in place by the middle of the year. If not, there will be penalties for those formerly responsible, which is the Association of Care of Health Insurance Companies and the Doctors Association, the GKV Spitzenverbund and the KBV. Then it's 18 to 24 month period to roll it out, and the deadline for the completed nationwide rollout of the telematic infrastructure is the 1st of January 2018. And again, if it's not met, financial penalties will be imposed, and these penalties are the penalties that are written into the law, so they will be hard penalties by law. And then there is another, I guess, 6 month grace period till the middle of 2018, and if the doctors are not using the system for maintaining their insurance data, they will begin to be penalized. And the penalties, even if 1% doesn't sound like a whole lot, yeah, for a doctor that's about 2,700 euros per year, and it accrues. So if you do not perform after 2 years, it's 5,004, and so it goes on. So obviously, in its original form, even though you can always wish for the perfect bill, it is a very forceful bill, and it has the crucial elements of financial mechanisms to ensure the pace of rollout. These components are probably not the most popular parts for those victim of potential non-performance like the GKV, Spitzenverbund and KBV. That's probably going to be an important part of the coming 6 to 9 months to see what stays, what will be watered out. I think that's how we see it, that the bill is coming. We see as a very, very, very high probability. If it comes in its original form, plus or minus, I think that is the trigger for a 24-month rollout of the telematic infrastructure. If it comes in a different form, yeah, it may take longer and may not include everything. But it would appear that the political wish and the push behind the current minister and government in place is to see it through in a forceful and rapid way. This would be great news for us. What does great news mean? That brings us to slide 20. Well, first of all, that would mean that based on everything that is developed in the pilot projects, we would certainly aspire to provide them with a compliant online connection, including all the hardware and software and services necessary. Altogether, that would be about 63,000 offices and about 1,000, say, hospital and similar locations. Certainly, for the remaining roughly 160,000 offices supplied by other IT vendors today, and say around 5,000 acute hospitals, social care institutions, rehab centers, and other institutions, We will offer OEM packages, as we are convinced that Deutsche Telekom T-Systems and maybe others will do, but certainly we will also compete for, say, business in terms of these connections outside our customer base. And what does that mean in cold cash? Well, this was what we discussed also on the analyst conference last year. We see for the offices an initial revenue per location of 2,000 to 4,000 initial, and then there will be some service fees and maintenance on that. And for the hospitals and institutions, obviously more, maybe mid-range about 30K. If you translate that into numbers above, you will see that for our existing customers, we talk about, say, a one-time initial revenue of about 200 million for the rollout phase, and for the rest of Germany, roughly 600 million. So I guess the cost of this telematic infrastructure to be rolled out in Germany, according to this calculation, would be about 800 million euros, which fits, I guess, broadly with what is heard in terms of the thinking from the Ministry of Health. So we believe that this represents a fair picture of the potential upside. Obviously, every investor and analyst and who follows this would need to apply their own judgment about the probability of this coming and how it will eventually play out. But in terms of potential, we believe this is a fair picture. And that would take us all the way into something like 2018. And that brings us to the final slide, page 21. Yes, the rollout is a big opportunity. It is a big undertaking. It doesn't necessarily bring something to healthcare in Germany by itself. What it will enable is a completely different way of organizing and running healthcare, and we cut and pasted some of the, say, slides that, or some of the elements that we used on our analyst conference, which was very much based on Scandinavian markets where secure healthcare networks have been around for quite a while and where we've seen a broad proliferation of add-on services using the network, which have also been revenue generators for CompuGroup. And that is really, you know, the ultimate goal of our strategy is to not only extend our revenue base and the utility that we provide to our customers on desktop software, but to do it in a completely networking sense, putting them with services that enables them to basically provide higher quality software for a lower inherent cost, and in that process giving us a small part of that as payments for the additional services that we may provide. No point in quantifying this for us right now. You can always apply some of the metrics that we discussed on the analyst conference by analogies to the Scandinavian markets and even Austria, but certainly there is a large inherent potential there which should create a very robust basis for the long-term growth prospects of CompuGroup. So that was a stab far into the future in many ways. Slide 22 brings us back a little bit more to the present in terms of how the guidance for 2015 will play out and the measurement points for that. You see here on this slide, the end of March, the annual report should be a non-event, formally important, of course. First important checkpoint, May 7th, which is the Q1 report, and then it follows with the AGM and the other quarterly reports, which in timing is very similar to prior years. So that concludes the presentation, brings us to slide 23, which has the simple instruction for how you can now enter the Q&A session. If you would like to raise any questions, you can press star 1. And you will be queued in, and questions will be taken in sequence.
Hi, Christian. This is Frohn speaking from Commerzbank. I have two questions. The first is around the eHealth Card project. the initial revenues are probably mainly consisting of hardware revenues and surrounding services. Will these revenues be in line with typical hardware reselling margins? And secondly, the annual fees afterwards includes DSL line costs. I think you mean internet connection costs. If I subtract this, as I assume no margin on this, how much of real recurring software revenues will remain here? Maybe a second to follow afterwards.
Okay, so I think if you take a mid-range on a hookup charge for an office, so say €3,000, we believe about 1,000, maybe a little bit more, will be for the so-called connector, which is this hardware encryption router. About 1,000 will be installation and training, so services. And about 1,000 will be for the integration software that comes along. Keep in mind that we have by now an in-house produced connector box, as Cool Connector is a group company by now, which means that the margin we get there basically is the difference between the selling price, say around 1,000, maybe a little bit more, and the production cost. So we've taken a lot of expenses, a lot of investment to get there, and in such a case, it is a healthy margin in a scale production of that component in itself. Services, you have to pay the people, is inherently a somewhat lower margin business, and software is always at volume scale as well. So we see no reason why it shouldn't be a decent margin business to do the rollout. Lots of work, hard work, but good margin business as it should be. In terms of margins on the initial, say, service component, yes, it includes the DSL line, but we are already, as we have offered DSL lines in a secure way to doctors in Germany for many years by now, we are established as an ISP and are able to extract some margin, not great margins, but some margins on that product, and obviously on the service for the connector and for the maintenance on the software should be a decent margin. If you apply this to our complete user base, it's about 20 million per year, 25 maybe, which is a great addition, maybe not quite as transformational as the rollout in itself. So I would say the important thing, and by then, nothing has been achieved. So we really, the main revenue opportunity after the rollout will be additional services that we would be able to offer there. I think that's how you should see it. And obviously we are talking many, many years in the future. And I guess by analogy to Scandinavian markets, you can speculate that it will follow in the same way. Otherwise, these things will go through many discussions and iterations before it gets to anywhere near a fixed number. But the potential there is obviously much, much more, order of magnitude 10 times more than running just the basic connection.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. Well, thank you. And a quick follow-up. Communication and data, you give a rather positive outlook for the first time, as you mentioned, since several years. Do you still stick to your cost containment measures introduced some quarters ago? Hence, can we expect some really nice EBITDA swing in the segment for this in the coming years?
Yeah, it's a very scalable business. So obviously if revenues, and as I said, we've done material cost measures. They have been mostly, I would say, in the hospital business and also parts of the HPS One business. The Italian PCS business has been integrated as the lab business and French AIS business acquired. So I would say more there than on the HCS side, but obviously, which would mean you shouldn't expect a radical for 2015 margin rebound in HCS. The margin expansion will come mostly on the HPS side. Having said that, of course, if you turn the corner and say the pain of losing revenue in a scalable business quickly comes back to the pleasure of having a scalable business if growth now comes back. And as I said, we have a good start to the year. No certainty for the second half, but all in all, it looks better than in many years. And it's based on a refocusing on the business, on originators, and say higher value-added services, moving beyond just plain advertising.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Hi, Christian. That's Knut from Baader Helvea. A couple of questions. The first one simply on the rollout again. So if I understand it correctly, it's now the 2-year rollout, and is it fair to assume then that it should start initially in 2016, or will it be after this? I'm not sure how you really phrased it. After the first half of 2016, so starting basically in the second half, how do you expect this to shape up? And then looking at EHC in terms of market shares, I think the 200 million you mentioned are assuming no market share gains. If we look at the competitive landscape, there are a couple of smaller competitors of yours where I'm curious to see how they react to this opportunity, whether they can develop it in-house or don't have the funds. So what is your view on possibly gaining market share? You mentioned 200 million is your customer base, 600 million the rest of Europe. How should we think about that? And looking at the one-time effects that were a burden in 2014, is it fair to assume that they are probably somewhere in the range of 10 to 15 million euros? That's it. Thanks.
I guess to your first question, I think at this point it will very much depend on the final wording of the e-health law. I don't think we would speculate and we would maybe not even care if it starts in January or June, as long as it starts and it's an intention to do it in 24 months. But, for, say, detailed modeling purposes, I'm not sure I can give you more guidance. I mean, between the two of us, you are the German, so you almost have to make up your own opinion about this. But I called it a grace period, and obviously it would be hard to make the law come into effect the same day as penalties would start to apply. We obviously the pilot and the results from the pilot and the verification that this is a working model should be more than documented and demonstrated by the end of 15. And I think mentally we see this as something that would kick out at the beginning of 2016. But again, obviously we and to do this in 18 months is a monster undertaking for all of, say, the not just CompuGroup, but anyone who wants to do this. So, only positive challenges. But again, exactly the timing of the start, hard to say. Market share gains, we would love to do it. We see probably the opportunity more to provide the OAM packages and actually help, say, competition or peers in the market. And the reason for that is that from its very construction, it's been a fundamental requirement that rolling out the telematic infrastructure shall not require anyone to change their legacy applications. And even in the pilots for each provider category, we have to provide at least, we have to show that it works with at least 3 different legacy applications from at least 2 different vendors. So we have something like 13 legacy applications which will be shown among the 500 providers in the pilot, and they come from also competing systems that we have as subcontractors. So the concept and structure is maybe more similar to an OEM market than everyone kind of folding their cards. Because obviously, none of these small players would have, say, if if we get 20 million to run the pilot and run a loss, you know, it costs a lot to develop these things and to make it certified to the level required to be able to supply. But again, we are not really factoring in market share gains. Directionally, we wouldn't be surprised if it comes, but we obviously also have a strong interest and would agree that to make this happen in 2 years, you have to assume that it's a pure add-on and that you can leave, say, what is working and fully functional systems in place, where there is an element of interest from ourselves to do that. The one-time effects, 10. Yeah, I mean, if you take the fourth quarter to, you know, all together, it is a massive 8 million, of which a material part is, say, provisions for severance and restructurings, say, in our business. There was plenty in the quarters before that as well. 10, I guess, is a nice round representative number, and order of magnitude is correct.
Thank you.
Hello, Christian. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. A couple of questions regarding the opportunity beyond the rollout. So I think you are probably the best one to ask how this has developed in the Scandinavian countries after the telematics infrastructure was available, and to which extent you could upsell to your doctor customer base. I think Denmark is probably not the best comparison, as the, I think, 5,000 euros a year were more or less enforced by the law, but from which base did Denmark come before the rollout, and what are your assumptions on where or to which extent you could upsell to a German doctor, what is the most likely product he might buy? Thank you.
Yeah. How to answer that relatively short. I will say, to keep an element of sobriety here, that of course if Germany spends about €1 billion to put this into place and then says thereafter, now everything is completely open to the free will of providers, suppliers, insurances, payers, and everyone. Everyone can find out we will put no incentives, no mechanisms, no nothing in place. It will take forever to change, and it would take a very long time to get any material proliferation of services. So, yes, we spoke about Denmark, which wrote this into the contracts of the doctors. I see no reason in the spirit of the e-health law to do something similar also in Germany. So here it's not to go beyond just the, say, insurance data update. And there are elements of that which I didn't highlight on the slide written into the law. If we look into Norway, from the payer side, the doctors actually get a biannual charge that they can invoke, which covers, say, additional services, and typically those services are messaging services, secure messaging, which integrates doctors with hospitals and labs and takes care of referrals, discharge letters, lab orders, lab results, and other things. So, and some kind of mechanism to be put into place to overcome some, there's always the basic challenge that the benefit of information transfer is mostly to the entity that receives the information in electronic structured form, whereas from the sending side it could even involve a little bit of extra work, and if they in addition have to pay for a service, it's additional extra costs. So some element of incentivizing, from Anschubsfinanzierung, startup financing, to more permanent structures, I think will be an important follow-up if we want to see a fast uptake. Fast meaning in some years. In all three Scandinavian countries, this is exactly what you did see. In Denmark, very, very heavy-handed. In Norway, more on the positive side, that additional funding was given specifically for this. We've seen similar things in Belgium, in Austria. And if you get that in place, certainly it becomes playing with numbers. But if we say that we've said it wouldn't be unfeasible that we would go from today's 1,100 euros per physician per year to something which is 2 to 3 times that. But it is a bit of a speculative statement, and it's not something that you analytically can calculate based on the German market. You can only really do it by analogy. And again, it will require a regulator to push it on, all the way from something, the 20 billion which was spent in the US to more small scale incentive structures that we've seen in the Scandinavian market. But once they are in place, it typically moves relatively fast and within some years. And certainly we saw that very rapidly in the early 2000s in Denmark.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, that seems to be the end of the Q&A session. Thank you very much for your interest. And if not before, we will revisit where we are on this exciting growth story on the 7th of May this year for the first quarter financial results. So thank you very much, and hear from you then. Bye.